was Hadidi Von Angst with the tune Have It All. Carrion de Soul before that with B27, the Bucky remix. And we have Ott at the beginning of that set with Flostum Paradise from the release Heary Eighth. I'm DJ Firefly. You're listening to Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. You should be able to see the whole playlist online at WRCT.org. Right now I have Cobby queued up with the tune Dramatica from the Rainbow EP.
Thank you.
D.O.P. with the tune Don't Stop, the Cure remix. Kind of a remake of Michael Jackson there. John Blomquist before that with Destination Lost from the new release Mute. And coming up after 30-second announcement, I'll have Younger, the tune God Put a Smile. I'm DJ Firefly. This is Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. You should be able to see the whole playlist online at WRCT.org.
D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D, that means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safely, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Here we go. Thank you.
This is McGruff the Crime Dog, and I need you to help me take a bite out of crime. Counterfeit products are popping up everywhere. If you think buying them is harmless, think again. Counterfeits are usually made with hazardous and even lethal ingredients that could harm you and others. And the money you paid, it goes right into the hands of criminals. Remember, if you don't know where the products came from, how could you know where the money goes? You're smart. Buy smart. Go for real. Learn more at McGruffPSA.org. This message is brought to you by the United States Patent and Trademark Office and the National Crime Prevention Council.
Just before that announcement, you heard DCLVIIIOFC with the tune House from the No Soul EP. Jono McCleary before that with Only You, the Joseph Ashworth remix. Right now you're listening to Leaps with the tune Close. I'm DJ Firefly. This is Couch Dancing on WRCT. You should be able to see the whole playlist online at WRCT.org.
WRCT Pittsburgh, the last bastion of pulchritude.
We'll be right back. everybody's moving to the same beat all night. We all getting driven by the same kick drum. We all getting moved to the same bass line.
This is Kimani Mali, and you're listening to WRCT-FM. Keep it locked, Rasta.
You just heard Climbers and Andre Salmon with The Good Old Days. Roosevelt before that with Ordinary Love, the Fulhamore remix. And Sheffa before that with Moon. Right now you're listening to Jazz and Nova with the tune Days to Come, the Little Big Beat Studio live session. You can see the whole playlist online at WRCT.org. This is Couch Dancing at WRCT Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Gerd and Reset Robot with the tune Verna from the 5 EP. Sunflower before this with Could We Be Fine from the new release You Heard It in a Dream. That's about it for me for today. I'm DJ Firefly. You've been listening to Couch Dancing on WRCT Pittsburgh. If you want to get in touch with me, or if you missed a show, feel free to check out my website at djfirefly.com.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
This is Law and Disorder.
Today on Law and Disorder, we recognize April 24th as the 110th anniversary of the Ottoman Empire's systematic plan to exterminate the Armenian race.
We hear part of our annual documentary titled It Was Genocide, Armenian Survivor Stories. Law and Disorder co-host Heidi Boghossian narrates this sound-rich documentary featuring rare stories of several adults who survived the Armenian genocide.
We then explore a current investigation into alleged discriminatory banking practices against Armenian Americans in the Los Angeles area. Our guest, Alex Rog Bastian, a member of the Armenian Bar Association Board of Governors and chair of its Armenian Rights Watch Committee, discusses unexpected bank account closures that raise concerns about potential ethnic or national origin-based profiling. Stay with us.
I'm Stephen Rohde, retired civil rights lawyer and author on issues of civil liberties.
And I'm Maria Hall, Los Angeles civil rights lawyer.
Around the world, April 24th marks the observance of the Armenian Genocide. On that day in 1915, the Interior Minister of the Ottoman Empire ordered the arrest and hangings of Armenian intellectuals and community leaders in Constantinople. The date is widely considered to be the original beginning of a systematic and well-documented plan to eliminate the Armenians, who had been under Ottoman rule and treated as second-class citizens since the 15th century. The unspeakable and gruesome nature of the killings, beheadings of groups of babies, dismemberments, mass burnings, mass drownings, use of toxic gas, lethal injections, render oral histories particularly difficult. Why did this happen? Despite being deemed inferior to Turkish Muslims, the Armenian community had attained a prestigious position in the Ottoman Empire, and the central authorities there grew apprehensive of their power and their longing for a homeland. A concerted plan of deportation and extermination was allowed to be carried out, in large part, because World War I demanded the involvement and concern of potential Allied countries. As the writer Grigoris Balakian wrote, the war provided the Turkish government, quote, their sole opportunity, one unprecedented, to exploit the chaos of war in order to effect their extermination plan. As Armenians escaped to several countries, including the United States, a number came to New Britain, Connecticut in 1892 to work in the factories of what was then known as the hardware capital of the world. By 1940, nearly 3,000 Armenians lived there in a tight-knit community.
"95 years has gone by, and they still have not acknowledged that this happened, and it was a genocide.
As a nation, how can they deny this? I mean, how can it be denied? It's a half of a population was removed."
"I don't like Turks per se because of what they did to our people, but I do enjoy the culture.
Why would I grow up hating the Turks if she didn't tell us stories? Well, then we must have been told something that we hated the Turks."
Armenians had a lot of power, a lot of control. They were the merchants. They were people who, in essence, were major drivers of the economy and the world in Turkey.
"Yeah, I think they were threatened by the culture. And the genocide started 1915, April 24, in Istanbul, where they took all the intelligentsia of the country and took them outside of the city and hanged them."
The overlay was, of course, religious, with Muslims, and they're the first country to acknowledge Christianity as a national religion. So, you know, there's a lot of history here with all of that.
"The other thing that the Turks used to say, where is your Jesus now? Where is he? Why isn't he saving you?" Well, they would say this on the death marches.
My brother Ernest was killed in an automobile accident. And his uncle came over to my house and said, "Hey, Ostian, where is your God now?" And she cupped her ears and she said, "Chilasim, chilasim, I don't want to hear that. God gave him to me and God took him away." How much more Christian could you be?
As you will hear from the stories of first-generation Armenian survivors who continue to live in New Britain, Connecticut, a shared history, a shared identity emerges. Some learned about the massacres directly from their parents or family members, while others were not told at all. Often, surviving women were ashamed to talk about what they had experienced, because so many of them had been raped or forced into harems. For others, conjuring up visual images of the atrocities was too painful to bear. When parents did speak about the crimes they experienced or witnessed, they frequently spoke in Turkish or Assyrian instead of English or Armenian, so that their children couldn't understand. Most children of survivors say that the subject was a secret, even forbidden.
"My mother did not keep secrets from us. She spoke about the Turks. She hated the Turks. She made us hate the Turks. I remember as a teenager, I wanted to send away for Turhan Bey's picture in Hollywood. And he was a very handsome Turkish actor. We weren't allowed anyway. But the ones who did keep it secret were the ones who were ashamed of what happened. And I know for a fact, many of the older women, older than my mother, had gotten raped. Those are the ones, in my opinion, in this area, were the ones who kept it secret."
"I grew up hearing, like the others, my mother didn't talk about it to me, ever. But I was a little girl, and my mother was quite a bit older than I was. She was older when I was born. And so her friends would come over, and they would sit and talk to each other. The next thing you know, they'd all start crying. And I would cry, too. And my mother would turn to me and say, 'Why are you crying?' And I'd say, 'Because you're crying,' and not knowing why I was crying."
And just recently we found out that this one got raped, that one got raped, and this is why they couldn't talk about it. Now, I don't know about the men, why the men kept it secret, but as far as the women, yes, you're right, the men were too young, but many of the women did get raped, and those are the ones, in my opinion, that really kept it a secret. And my mother told me many stories, so...